Hi, I'm Danny.
And I'm Gabby.
And this is Clashes, a podcast exploring culture shock in all its chaotic forms.
We know a good shock can shake things up.
So we blew up our lives and crash landed in Paris.
With a delusional sense of hope.
And a dangerous bread habit.
I feel attacked. But culture shock isn't just about changing countries.
Almost. It's about embracing the unknown.
From navigating friendships in your 30s.
Awkward. To processing pop culture's oddest obsessions.
So buckle up and embrace the chaos.
One clash at a time. Ready?
Okay. I think I got that on.
Oh,
I got that on record. I love the podcast one. Like, they're like 10 minutes in and the guest is like, are you recording? And they're like, oh my God, I've been recording the entire time. I'm staring straight at Danny's incredible Chapel Roan t-shirt.
Oh my God. I know. This is like a vintage classic now. We got this. Okay. I want to like name drop a little bit.
I think we have to tout our own like ability to forecast here, right?
Yeah. So Gabby and I went to a Chapel Roan concert in December of 2014. She wasn't even born. Just kidding. 2024? No, 2023.
It was 2023.
End of the year 2023.
Are you sure it wasn't 2023? Yeah, it was 2023.
It was like December. I remember it was like end of the year.
Right? It was the day I got laid off from my job.
I remember that too. And she was performing in like a tiny, tiny venue in Paris. And we're like, we got like $20 tickets. I think it was
It was a tiny venue.
It was a tiny venue, very cheap. And it was really fun to get to see her.
And her costume like fell apart during the show. Yes. Do you remember? Like, she had these underwear and they like fell off.
Anyway, I got a great t-shirt from the merch table and you got a great hat.
I know. I got my Midwest princess hat.
And now we'll never see her in such a small venue ever again.
You know, she was coming back and then she canceled.
She canceled to go to the Grammys and people were pissed about it. But now she's coming back.
I get why people were pissed.
I would be pissed too. And she was doing a small-ish venue. Oh, and she was doing Bataclan.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
But now she's coming back and headlining Rock and Ten. So.
Oh, shut up, really? Yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
No. So we're done. We're toast. What else is new? What's up?
I just got back from vacation.
Oh yeah, dude, your photos looked insane. Go to Danny's. So have you made a highlight for you?
Yeah, I made three posts because we did a lot. We did a lot of towns. So basically, we did a road trip through Provence.
Can you name the towns?
Yes. Not off the top of my head, but I remember like where we stayed, for example. So we did kind of like the more like the east side, like very close to Italy, not very close to Italy, but close-ish to Italy in a small town called Fayence.
I'm trying to picture.
So like north of Cannes, so like more inland.
Yeah.
So we went to a small town called Fayence and then explored the towns around there. Very cool. It's like more like chill over there. And then we did the touristy town, which is St. Paul de Vence.
Don't
which is really cute. Again,
how do you even know what to do? Did Paul help you or did you like
no I like asked people and then like I just like did a lot of research. But that one town that I just mentioned, St. Paul de Vence, is pretty popular. There's like tour buses, but like tourist buses of people, like,
oh wow.
And it's really cool. It's very touristy, but there's a really cool museum like maybe 5 minutes outside of the town that's totally worth it if you're into like
art museum.
Is an art, yeah. It's like a lot of sculptures and beautiful gardens, so it's like very cool. And then the second half went to Luberon, which is more closer to like Avignon and Aix-en-Provence. And it's really cool. We stayed in a really beautiful hotel.
God, the places you stayed look so insane.
Truly the best money I've
just
ever spent.
It's so overwhelming to plan that stuff. I'm always so impressed. I don't know how you figure that out.
It was. I mean, I think you just have to understand where your home base is and the kind of like what you're going to want to do.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing is we have a car, so we had a lot of freedom to like pick and choose what we wanted to do.
So nice.
But the only thing I will say, out of every town we stopped in, the only town that I was like, skip it, was Grasse.
Really? Isn't that the perfume?
That's the perfume. Yeah. I think if you go like right outside of Grasse, like there's like nice chateaus and nice hotels like outside of the town, but like the actual town.
Was it ugly or like what?
It was just not. Yeah. It's also like pretty big and it's like the perfume museum is there. So I was like, okay, it's going to be cool. There's going to be like small perfume shops and artisanal stuff. And it was like Disney World.
Really?
Yeah, it was like not
my
at
ex
all.
Brought me back perfume from there because he had to go to a wedding and it smells terrible.
Yeah, I think
obviously I didn't tell him
I was
that,
also
but
like very underwhelmed because so they basically have like a museum that's free that you can see, which is like whatever, it's nothing crazy but it's free so might as well. And then they have a shop and the shop has all the perfumes and soaps and stuff, and same thing. I was like, I might as well, since we're already here, let's just buy something.
Right.
I didn't like a single thing. We're gonna buy, and yeah. I love a candle. I love any scented same. Things. I couldn't find a single scent
Mine
I liked.
Mine was kind of like an elderly woman.
Yes. Everything smelled like old woman.
Yeah. I think it's because it's, is it lilac or something? There's like a, it's funny because my mom actually likes that smell.
Yeah.
Which is just a generation. Like, I'm sure they'll look back at us and like, they'll think that La Labo smells like an elderly person smell. Like, when we're
yeah,
so
it. That's exactly what I thought. I kept on telling Paul, like, this smell, like it smells like rich woman, yep. like rich old woman, and it's just like, that's just not my vibe, which is fine. And so yeah, I was someday. Very disappointed. But anyway, how about you, anything new you've done?
Not much. I kissed the bulge. Oh no, sorry, I oh stroked God. The bulge. I kissed the lips.
Wait, can you tell us about your
I'm
outing?
Still not in love, and I haven't basically got any matches on my dating app.
But
so
can you tell
Victoire, do your work.
The listeners what you're referring to, you went to a oh, yeah. cemetery in Paris.
Went to the cemetery in Paris. I know we started the last podcast off
oh
this
you
way.
Did mention this
so
last time.
I went, I did it, it started torrential downpouring in the middle of us doing it. Actually, basically right when we got there, we opened our bottle of champagne, poured it into some red Solo cups, absolute trash, and then all kissed in torrential downpour. And then this tourist group came up, guided by this guy,
incredible.
In the middle, like right after we all did our bulge rub. And
and this is what desperation looks like.
Wait, Danny, but like, actually, yes. And he goes, no. Ah, voila. And he, like, they all just stare and watch us as we put our.
Did they pull out their iPhones to take pictures of you?
Okay, I actually shut down and actually blacked out because
oh
I was so embarrassed. And we were like putting flowers in the hat. And then we like scurried away. And the guy, again, mind you, we're doing this with a bottle of champagne, red Solo cups, like, truly garbage. And the guy is like, felicitation, as we like walk away.
I mean, I'm sure so many, he probably catches so many people doing it.
He must. That's what I have to tell myself, but it was mortifying. I also went to DeVee finally.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you think?
Very good. I was just like shocked. I was telling you before, but I just like, I'm not a huge tasting menu person.
No, same.
And so I was just not expecting it to be as good as it was. It was so interesting and so flavorful. Like Adam, that chef, I'm just genuinely so impressed.
Yeah, I think it's like one of the cooler venues. It's like a really interesting, like you said, tasting menu. I feel like we were just talking about this offline, but I'm like, for me, tasting menus lately, I'm like very turned off by them because it's like very like Michelin star bullshit that mm-hmm. I'm kind of over. But this restaurant, and if they get a Michelin star, that'd be great. I'm not trying to trash that, but I'm just saying like the way they stand right now, it's like excellent service, but it's not like stuffy or snobby.
So warm, so friendly.
Yeah.
You
and
can ask questions.
Just, like,
yeah.
Not food you would normally get anywhere else, which is like what I try to look for when I go to a restaurant, right? So I'm glad you had a good experience.
It was so cool. And it was so comforting. Like the first thing they give you, well, they give you this like true normal and really cool little like, it was like a...
like the bar snack.
Yeah, it was like a bar, like it was a snack. But then they had this like, it was like dried mushroom chips with
Wait,
this like special
those,
herb dip, and it was like an elevated sour cream and onion chip. But I was like, I could just have a bucket of these and be happy. Like I could finish my night, cocktail bag of whatever that was, and for me that's killer. Like I just to
give
be
a bag of chips.
Oh my god! I mean, I'm a chip girl, so I was just so impressed just from bite one. And yeah, I mean, I had this duck that I just like can't stop thinking about. It was incredible. So
I had the pigeon when I went, but I mean, everything was well. Besides, did you have the asparagus tart?
Yep.
Okay.
This tart has become famous.
Unfortunately, by the time this episode will come out, the tart will no longer
be
in the menu.
But maybe next season.
Maybe next season. Yeah. But honestly, anything they make and
incredible.
To replace it will be great. So yeah.
It's so good. Well, anyway, so we gather here today to discuss.
What's the theme for today's
pod? Oh my God, I just want
pod.
To remember, what's the story, Wishbone? What's this?
No.
Come on, Danny.
I'm not familiar. I didn't grow up in the United States.
Oh my God.
I did,
I
but
shame
not really.
You for that, but I'm shaming you.
I have a lot of cultural blind spots because I only moved when I was 10 years old.
That's wild. Wishbone define me. Can you guys comment down below if you
is it a cartoon?
Wishbone? Oh my God. I'm going to derail the
this
whole
is a culture shock moment. This is a culture
shock
happening.
Oh yeah, this is what we did this for. Wishbone is a dog.
Wait, let me Google
Can you
him.
Google him?
Okay. Yeah.
He's like a little terrier and he plays every role in classic literature. And so first time I ever learned about Shakespeare, Wishbone. First time I ever learned about Phantom of the Opera, Wishbone. He played every leading role.
Oh, he's not a cartoon. He's a real dog.
He's a real dog. When you think about talent, you think about Wishbone. such a good song.
I've never seen this. I've never seen this. We'll post a meme.
I saw a great meme where it was like, you don't know versatility in acting until you've seen Wishbone.
Oh my God. His costumes are incredible.
Incredible.
He's like, whoa.
The first time I ever heard of multiple iconic stories, I learned them because of Wishbone. Anyway, so.
Okay, he's going on the grid for
kind
sure.
Post, like, his best. Danny does the most chaotic. I love the most chaotic episode poster. I just like cut out heads of the most random people. I love it. No, anyway, so today we're talking about aging. Like, we're talking about, when the hell did we get old? What happened? How did we get here? Are we actually old? And how are we navigating the crises that we're having? I mean, I can only speak for myself, but looking in the mirror lately has been just pure existential dread. I cannot stand it. I feel like it's infiltrating my anxiety around dating. It's infiltrating my anxiety around work. It's just starting to consume me. And I didn't think about this until about 33. And well, I would say it really started to hit me.
I have a little round of questions.
We have to go tit for tat.
We can both answer them. But it's not at all. Because I think it's a good way to introduce what we're going to talk about. But you kind of answered to this already, but at what age did you first think, wait, am I aging?
Yeah, it was definitely.
It was like yesterday.
I was like, yes, no. I think around 33 for me. 32 okay. wasn't great, but then, so I started dating a guy 5 years younger than me at 30, early 33, I think. Maybe it was 32, I can't remember. And something about dating a guy younger than me really started to bring it out. What about you?
Okay.
Or have you not realized it yet?
No, I've definitely realized it. I mean, I think 30 is like the first frontier, right? You're like, I'm turning 30. Holy fuck, right?
It's true. That's more like, for me, that was like an intellectual.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not in my 20s anymore.
Yeah.
I guess maybe begin to get my shit together. But then, So I would say like 30 was the first time that I'm like, oh, I'm getting old. I'm turning 30. And then I would say anything after 33, you're just like, I don't even want to bring up my age anymore.
I'm ready to start lying about it. Yeah, like fully ready.
Yeah. I think before 33, I was like, it's fine. 33 is still young. And then after 33, you're like, oh, I'm getting to like my mid 30s. And then when you pass 35, you're like, I'm closer to 40 than I was. I would say like mid 30s is when I was like, oh yeah, I'm getting older and so everything gets harder.
What's like one thing in terms of our questions? What's one thing? We'll get into this more, but that you actually like.
Well, I really don't give a fuck about a lot of things.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just
like, why do I still care about so much? Like, I feel like it's like not going fast enough for me. I'm going to be like 55 by the time I stop caring so much.
Well, I think it depends on what. It's not like I don't give a fuck about anything, but there's just like a lot of things that I'm just like, I think that might not just be age, but also like cultural, like where I stand in like living in France too. It's like my career. I'm like, I don't really care if I climb the corporate ladder anymore. Yeah. Like, that's fine. As long as I can still have an income of some sort, I'll do whatever project kind of thing.
That's happened a bit to me too. Yeah.
And I think when I was younger, you're just a little more ambitious, or you're a little more like, well, by this age, I have to reach this position and by this. And then I think when you get there and you realize like, okay, this is not really exactly what I wanted. I'm actually happier doing something else. Yeah, I think like professionally, I stopped caring a lot about things. And I think also, even socially, like obviously it still hurts if you're not invited to things or if people don't include you in things, but I think when I was in my 20s, I was much more sensitive about that. And now I'm more like, oh, that wasn't nice. And then I like 5 minutes later, I'm like, I don't really care, you know?
It's true. Like, the recovery is quicker.
What do you think is good about it? You're like, nothing.
Yeah, I think I do care less about whether people like me. It doesn't feel like it. That really happened, I'd say, the last year specifically, though. That, like, really happened quickly for me. I still care, but I'm much better at saying to myself, like, okay, well, there's nothing I can do. Like, I did my best.
Yeah.
And so I can't really. So that's, like, the best part, I think, because I used to just be obsessed. Like, the only thing I, like, would shape everything.
I also don't have that much FOMO anymore.
For me, it's like, if I really want to do it, but I guess the list of things I really want to do are lower. You know what I mean?
I'm just like, sometimes I'm like,
I don't want to be there anyway.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. I can miss this one, you know?
Yeah, it's fine. That's kind of how you sum up your 30s is, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Biggest myth. Do you know what yours is?
Like, biggest myth about aging?
Yeah.
I
guess as a woman specifically.
I think the biggest myth about aging specifically, I don't know if it's a myth because I haven't gotten there yet, but I, you know how like, and I think this comes up later in the episode too, where it's like, 40s are the new 30s. 50s are better than your 30s. Like, all that shit. I'm like, are they really? That's the one thing I'm like, I just don't really.
Yeah.
I do think that, again, the older you get, the more confident you feel and the more secure in who you are, for sure. But is it actually, like, better?
You know, I want it to be, so I kind of want to believe that. I want to hold on to it, man.
So I don't want to say it's a myth. I just don't know. I mean, I think there's obviously better parts in, like, being 50, there's things that
I'm
are
waiting
better.
For the part where I'm gonna have like incredible sex. Like, why is everyone telling me this is gonna happen for me? Everyone's like, it's gonna be in your 30s, like, it's gonna be in your 40s, and all the shows now are like, nope, you're not gonna have incredible sex until you're 50 years old and you have a 20 year old colleague.
Yeah, but then you're like going through menopause, and
I don't know, but people are I feel like the news is circulating.
I don't really know what but yeah, for me it's that the biggest myth is like everyone who keeps saying like
30s. You don't think your 30s are better than your 20s?
I think my 30s are better than my 20s, but I just don't know if your 50s are better than your 30s.
Okay.
And I think there's some areas.
So you're getting ahead of yourself.
Well, I mean, there's some areas in which, like, there's probably more positives, but I'm like, are they better than your 30s?
Right.
I don't know. Because, like, your body is decomposing and you're dying slowly.
Danny.
I just feel the physical
effect. So
sorry
to anyone who's 50 listening to this. Your body's not decomposing.
I feel my body decomposing. Every morning I wake up, I'm like, why is this hurting now? So that's what I mean. I just think definitely, like, personality-wise and mentally, like, you're maybe in a better space.
Yeah.
But, like, then all of a sudden you have like a back pain that you never had before. So it's like kind of what I mean. Also, like, you can't maybe work out as hard as you used to, or recovery takes longer.
Well,
so
luckily for all of us, I was never working out that hard.
Oh, well, I mean, same, but that's the only thing. What about you? Do you think there's any myths around aging?
I really, this is so annoying and stupid and cliche, but I really did think there would be an age where I just would be like, yep, self-actualized and I've got it figured out. Like, now taxes aren't scary. Now I am so secure and I feel like I can move through life, and I just can't stop feeling like I'm just still truly 17, trapped in this body. I don't feel like I had such a perception that people older really had it figured out, and I'm just really realizing that most people, my perception is that most people kind of stunt their personal growth around 30, and like they're not doing that much. And frankly, I think men stunt it around 23 or something, so people aren't really growing that much. I really thought people would be more mature.
I think also, like, we grew up with like an idea of like what an adult looked like, and that's very different to like what we are as adults.
I mean, as I'm looking with you with your Rainbow Chapel Roan t-shirt, imagine you were 30. Weren't we like, aren't we at the age of like what is it called,
the Home Alone
golden
mom
golden
or whatever? Oh, what
are the golden girls?
Oh, are we?
Aren't they like 35 or something?
Google. I know that
they're like 40 or something crazy.
The mom from Home Alone was like, hold on, how old are the golden girls?
I thought they were like 35 or something crazy.
No,
like
no,
gray
no.
Hair.
They're 55.
Oh, why did I think they were 30?
Here we are. Spreading mystery. How old was the mom? I think.
In Home Alone?
Yeah. And she has like an incredible house and like seven kids. So I'm like.
Oh, she does have like seven kids.
She has like seven kids. Okay. She was mid 30s. Yes.
No.
Yeah. I definitely don't have seven kids or.
Wait,
a
Danny,
nice
that's
house
crazy.
Like that. Yeah. She was. In her mid-30s.
That's wild. Okay.
36, actually.
You know what's interesting? I was listening to Amy Poehler on Las Culturistas, and she said this line that she basically was like, being in your 50s is a lot easier for this anxiety than being in your 30s. Because she said, being in your 30s, you're so confused. Like, am I old or am I young? Like, I think we're trapped now. Especially being millennial, which I feel like millennial was such a distinct generation. I feel like millennial was really the generation that defined... Maybe I'm being really self-centered, but I feel like every generation doesn't have a name that we're obsessed with, and so much of our identity was being like young and with it and like aware of the technology and the first to use social media. And now that
we're not cool
young
anymore,
I find it to be like, I don't know. I feel like I can't wrap my head around it. And she was like, once you're in your 50s, like you're objectively old, but you're on the young side of old, but you're like, you're not like scared anymore that you're not young. Like you just kind of passes this anxiety, which I don't know. It kind of made me 50.
I hope. That's the case for sure. I mean, I think millennials, we have, for us, aging is not harder than other generations, but we have the social media component, which doesn't help. And also we're obsessed with documenting ourselves and taking pictures and videos of ourselves.
It's true, so we can see the difference so starkly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think generations before that, people did that. So, I mean, they did in different ways, but it wasn't so immediate. Like you would take a picture on film and develop it and like maybe like, a couple of months later, you would do the same thing for special occasions. We take pictures of ourselves.
Looking back at it like 24/7, like I'll scroll through my Instagram feed. I'll be like, oh, I look so collagen full at that age.
And we like take pictures of ourselves every freaking day. Yeah. Like it's not like, oh, for special occasions, I'll bring out my iPhone. It's like every day we're documenting everything about ourselves, from the way we dress to like the way our face looks. It's crazy.
Yeah. Just too much self-perception.
And it's too much like visual, like also like comparing herself to other people on social media, because then you see another person that's like 45 and you're like, why does she look younger than me? Mm-hmm. And then again,
too much information.
It's too much information. Yeah. It's too much of like documenting ourselves every single day, comparing ourselves to other people who are also documenting themselves. And so, yeah. And I mean, I think Gen Z is still young, so they don't care, but they will in 10 years or so.
Yeah.
And I think,
well, what do you think about this whole thing about like Gen Z is aging more quickly than millennials? Do you think that's just millennials saying that because we want to feel like,
I mean, I think it depends. I've seen articles and stuff where they do look older, some of them, but I think that's like a very generalized statement. Like there's people that are gonna age gracefully and people that are not.
Yeah, it's true.
So I do think we're obsessed with like skincare and taking care of ourselves, so I do think millennials are like obsessed with that wellness and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So maybe there is some truth to it because we're so aware of that. But Gen Z isn't drinking, so they might age better than us at the end. Because we're big drinkers. Dude, our generation is big. Like
I am never going to get on the sobriety track.
Yeah.
It's just too much part of our culture.
I know. And then when you see all these women who have aged incredibly well, because obviously they have all the money in the world and they can get everything, like J-Lo or whatever, who's like 56. Yeah. You know what? J-Lo's almost 60.
That's crazy.
Isn't that insane?
I know. She looks like younger than me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And she doesn't drink. And I'm like, okay, maybe Shakira doesn't drink either.
And I'm don't tell me that. I need some joy. Let me cling to something.
But I mean, it's obviously like one element to it. Like she probably has gotten a shit ton of work done or has like, I don't know, like, crazy facials.
Let's tell ourselves it's money and work.
I mean, I think it's definitely a combination. If your job is to look good, then yes, you're not gonna drink, you're gonna train every day, you're gonna do all these things, right?
Yeah.
But the how are you average feeling, woman?
Yeah. Well, how are you feeling about your appearance specifically? Like, what's your vibe? Like, what are you thinking?
My
when you look
vibe.
In the
mirror? So I definitely have noticed aging signs, but I am not like, I haven't had anything crazy where I'm like, this is very upsetting to me. Mm-hmm. I definitely want to get that eye surgery I've told you about, but
Didn't even like to start every conversation with which plastic surgery we're
I already know what I want to get. So that's as much as I've done. I've never gotten Botox or anything yet.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm like a Botox queen.
Well, to be fair, I don't have like the quote unquote like Botox wrinkles. Yeah, so there's no reason for me to get Botox, but there's other stuff I could get, like that eye surgery I want to get.
There's always something.
I am toying with the idea of getting filler under my eyes.
Me too.
So there's a few things I want to do, and I would be, if I do it, I would be open about it because I just don't think there's anything crazy. So my appearance, I don't think there's anything that I'm super upset or unhappy about. My body, same. I mean, I've noticed it's harder to stay in shape the older I get. Like I have to be much more careful than I was when I was younger. But again, nothing crazy so far. But also I think that's a lot of genetics. Like some people turn 30 and they have to change their entire diet, or they develop some sort of like, I don't know, allergies and stuff. So I know it's like, that's just my personal, the way I'm built. So far it's been fine. Like I notice stuff like shit hurts all the time. If I do physical activity that's like a little more intense than normal, I will be in pain for a long time afterwards. Same. Recovery is longer. When I drink, hangovers last 2 days instead of one.
I feel like that's like really affects you. I don't know why. I still don't feel the hangover thing like the way other people
you're
do.
You're younger than me. So.
I mean, then I do like one squat and I like can't sit on the toilet anymore.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So I do think like I notice it more physically, like my body.
Right, than like appearance more like.
Yeah. I mean, appearance, I notice it too. Yeah. But it's, and like I have a lot more white hairs than I used to have. That's the newest thing I've noticed in my hair. But I also like, it's not like the most upsetting thing to me.
It's so interesting. And I really want to get to the stage where it's not upsetting for me. But I also wonder if like, because you're married and you have a partner, there's anything that eases the anxiety of that. Like, I feel like I'm playing musical chairs and everyone was taken. And now I'm like this haggard old woman that's like left roaming the streets with like Yeah, no, I mean, hope. And now the dating market is so bad that it's just so hard to feel confident.
Yeah, and you'll have 50-year-old men that are like, I only date 20-year-olds.
So and seeing every goddamn celebrity. Like, did you see me bringing Amy Poehler up twice in this? But Amy Poehler's ex is now dating a 30-year-old woman.
Gigi, I'm
like,
had Amy's friend or whatever.
It just, like, kills me. It's like, Amy Poehler is such, like, a vibrant, dynamic, successful, powerful person. And then, like, no matter what, a guy always wants someone so much younger.
Well, she dated someone younger, too, so...
Well, it doesn't hurt me when women do it. Women can do whatever they want.
No, no, I'm saying, I'm like, I think...
Who did she date?
Nick Kroll.
Oh, how much younger than her is he, though?
Like 10 years. Oh, okay. And she dated him for a while.
That's every time that every time I hear the reverse, I'm like, good for her.
I think she left Will Arnett.
Really?
I think. I'm going to start that rumor. I don't know if it's true.
We'll Google it.
This is just pure speculation. I think... if anyone was going to leave anyone in that relationship, it was her.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's my conspiracy theory. Anyway, and then she was with Nick Kroll for a while. They were very happy together. And I love that because
I didn't know that they dated.
They dated for like 5 or 6 years.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, he's like typical older man dating, like, I don't know, a 25-year-old, whatever the fuck.
I can't. Yeah. So that's hard.
Yeah. I can imagine dating in like your mid 30s is rougher because you're like competing against young women and quote-unquote competing, and you know, men are always going to have this like fantasy of like, I want to date a 25-year-old even though I'm 60, and it's like, are you okay?
I think I talked about the story on this podcast. I did, the time like that 80-year-old.
Yes,
me. I did. Did. And I just remember being like, no, my friends were like, no, you have to be careful. And I was so sure, of course he's not trying to hit on me, he's 80 years old. I was 31 32.
Yeah, but
he 100% thought he had a shot.
Oh, for sure. But that's what I'm saying.
Unbelievable. What do I get in that scenario? He had no money, he had no apartment, he had no fame.
You get a silver fox.
I not even, I don't know what he thought. Like, how does that trade work?
I think everyone is different. Everybody handles aging differently, and maybe if you ask me in a year, I'll feel very differently about it. But the way I feel about it now is like, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't do very little things to stop it.
That's true. We have to accept the Buddhist.
Yeah.
I can't control. Wait, so did you see? So our friend Claire Lampin wrote this really good article for The Cut about what does a 30 something look like? And it just made me think so much too about what are we even supposed to look like at this age?
I think that's the tricky part, because also when you see like old movies or whatever, and it's like the mom who's 25 looks like 45, and it's like, the way millennial adults look is so different from the way...
And like, dress and hold themselves and talk.
Yeah, like I'm literally so wearing a Chaperone t-shirt with like very short shorts that Paul came in and said, are you naked on the like, that's what I'm wearing right now. So it's like, I think it's really interesting because like, especially, we were watching, what was the movie we were watching? Jess's Bachelorette.
When Harry Met Sally.
When Harry Met Sally. Yeah. And we were joking how like, they look so... She was supposed to be like 25 or something. And she looked like...
Like the power suit.
Yeah. And, she didn't look it, but she dressed. Right. That's what it was. The hair.
And the hair. The blowouts.
And it was like, why do you look older than me? So I think...
Guess how
like,
old George Costanza was in Seinfeld.
Oh, God. Like 30?
Yeah.
Oh, 31. God. He looks... To me, he looks 50. Like a 60-year-old.
Yes. That blows my mind. So anyway, so what about... Okay, so the other thing that has been causing... This podcast should be called The Things That Are Causing Me Anxiety. The other
thing that... Therapy session.
...been causing me anxiety is how age is impacting my career. And really badly.
Like, in what way?
Do you think
that it's a young girl's game?
It might be. I mean, it's PR, so it might be. And I've been really trying to look for figures and proof points that show that age comes with value, which should be obvious, but I work in an industry, it's not super well paid, and it values people who know hard labor for no wages. And then generally who have some sort of eye on trends, eye on, with the new social media, like I'm not going to download, what was it called? Like Red House or whatever. Like what was the one that the Chinese app?
Oh yeah.
Redbook. No, that Redbook is the magazine.
Oh, okay.
I forget. Whatever. I'm not gonna like stay up to date on everything, and I can only be so aware of TikTok trends. But you work in social, so you must feel it too. No,
I feel it. Yeah. I mean, thankfully, a lot of my clients are more like not traditional.
Oh, so you feel like the cool, edgy one.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, sometimes when I bring ideas to like my clients, they're like, that's incredible. And I'm like, that's not that
crazy. I need to work with lamer people. I think that might be the solution.
Yeah, but then you can't do that much. Well, I mean, so, okay. I have a lot of like social media blind spots, even though I work in social. Because I think like also when you're an expert in social or where you work in social, you can be an expert in many things. But like the thing I'm an expert in is content. Mm-hmm. And how do you distribute that content across social media? It's a different story. If you tell me, how can I give me a Snapchat strategy, I'd be like, I haven't used Snapchat since 2016. So that's my blind spot.
All kids are using it these days.
Exactly. But I was working for like alcohol brands. So they were like, we were not even looking at that because they're too young. Right. Makes sense. TikTok, same thing. I mean, TikTok and Instagram or Meta are very similar in the way. I mean, the content is very different and the platforms are very different, but they're very similar in the way that the trends often overlap, or like they start in TikTok and then make their way to Instagram. So that's fine. Also, side note, they closed on my TikTok account.
Wait, what?
I know. Why? Like, I don't know.
Because you're totally inactive, so, right?
Yeah, but like they should be like, hey, do you still want this?
Well, I told you I got banned, so.
Well, and so
they wouldn't even let me like.
I submitted a ticket. Back. I was like, hello, why did you? Because I had 20,000 followers. They're supposed to
give you. You're 20,000? That's so annoying.
So I was like, hello, what happened? And then they were like, I don't know.
They got back to you? They never got back to me.
I just sent it on Friday because I just realized it on Friday. But no, I think you have to be aware of the trends, of course. Do you have to be like on TikTok 24/7? Yes or no, depends. But I do think you're right. I think if I were to work in corporate again and I would have a team, I would definitely have to hire a Gen Z person to like
keep me up to date. I think that's the key. The thing I always think about, my sister works at Spotify and she always said there was this like woman who was like 75 who was running, I don't know, one of their culture trend departments or something. And I always think about her because I think there's certain people who are really good at hiring and really recognizing talent and really recognizing, like, they know what questions to ask, even if they don't know exactly how to execute. And I do think there's talent in that. And I have to remind myself that because sometimes I definitely feel.
And it's experience too. Like all the young kids that are like getting their first jobs, they might be really good at doing certain things, but I'm sure they don't know how to manage a team or manage a crisis. Client
emails with like, LOL, haha.
Exactly. So I think there's, when you have a team of people, especially on social or PR, whatever it is, like, yeah, maybe you have to have a young person or maybe two, but like you need like whoever the leader is or whoever like the manager is needs to have a lot of experience. Otherwise,
specifically in managing too. That's also the benefit, like understanding how to manage people. Yeah, it's hard. Like I always think my ex worked in insurance and he had so many colleagues who were 65 years old. And sometimes I'm like, God damn it, should I have worked in insurance?
Yeah,
I have a longer like lifespan? Because right now I feel like I'm going to die at 42 in PR.
Yeah, but I also think it's like, yeah, how versatile are you? Like you have to, like I started working in social in 2013. And what I was doing in 2013
totally different from what
is
you're doing
like
now.
Complete different thing to what
we are all triple threats. We're all like, every millennial can sing, can dance, can shake their jazz hands.
I remember my first campaign I was like managing in social media was like a mommy blogger campaign for Sunny Delight. Like
Sunny D?
I had to like pay mommy bloggers.
The taste of Sunny D.
I had to send them juice.
Sunny D sponsors.
I had to send them Sunny D and be like, can you write a blog post about this? In 2013. That was like one of the first campaigns I managed.
I don't know. I don't really think things have changed that much.
I mean, I remember when like hashtags were like, the big thing about
strategy, how big that was.
And so to me, I'm like, a lot of the essence of social media hasn't changed, but the fact that I've been through it since 2013 and I've seen the evolution of what is good content, what is actually going to help the brand, what is going to perform, I think that's what my old age, the value of my old age brings, because the Gen Z-er I'm going to hire was in diapers in 2013. So I think there has to be a mix. You know, you
can't just really in diapers.
Maybe. How old are they? Yeah, they could be.
That would be that would be alpha, I think. No, maybe not. Maybe you're right. That's low Gen Z.
Yeah, it's low Gen Z. So
God, that's horrifying.
So I think if I were to hire a team or if I had a brand, I would definitely want someone with experience. And then that person can hire a 20-year-old for all I care.
Right. Okay. But it's hard. I feel like, has your persona at all changed in work as you've gotten older? Were you different?
Much more confident.
Much more confident.
Yeah. And I'm more, and I because I have all these years of experience, I'm more like, I know what I'm doing.
This is crazy. I feel like I'm the opposite.
You feel like you're more insecure now in your job? Why?
I don't know. When I was young, I was so stupid. I didn't know things. So I just was like bulldozing my way through everything. And now I just know too much. I'm like, just aware. I'm aware of all the consequences. I'm aware of the nuance. I feel.
But you know what you're doing.
Yeah, of course I know what I'm doing.
So then.
I don't know. I just feel like I was more delusionally confident when I was younger. It's so interesting. I always think about, this is such a tangent, but if I were going to hire someone to do anything for me, I tend to be really drawn to people who have hesitations and ask questions rather than people who are like bulldozing their way. But that's such a, I don't know, it's just specific to me because I feel like that's a sign of age. Like, you know less the older you get.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. For me, it's like, I think for me, obviously I still get like imposter syndrome and sometimes I'm like, can I take this job? Am I good at this? Especially because I went from like corporate to freelance, which is like very different. But the more and more I get freelance projects, I'm like, this is so easy. I can definitely do
it. It's true. And you also just realize how little other people know when you've gotten this far in your career. Like, things that are truly second nature for us are so.
Yeah. I think especially when you go from like corporate to freelancing, it's like, you're like, I finish a project in like 3 days. That would take me 5 weeks in corporate.
Corporate, I do not get. I feel like I could run Amex or something insane. After working in freelance, I just feel like, and with startups, I do not get what they're doing over there.
Yeah. Truly. When I was working at, and let's bleep the name just in case I don't want to get sued. When I was working at, I remember when I got that job, I was super self-conscious because I was like, I'm working at the biggest company in France. Everyone's going to be brilliant. Yeah. I'm going to learn so much. Everyone is going to be so smart. Everything's going to be great. And then I was like, everyone's a fucking idiot here. I was like, I can run this company. And
that's
like,
how I feel anytime I work with anyone corporate. Then, anyone.
Yeah, but that's what I'm
so saying. Strange. And but so I work with mostly startups, which are very smart, very hustle people. But just corporate
startups,
to me is confusing.
Startups is crazy because you have to be good at what you're doing.
Oh, and like efficient. Yeah. And,
like, and you have to do like 27 productive. Jobs.
Yeah. It's scrappy. But
old school corporations like where I came from.
This is a whole other conversation. This feels like we should do like a corporate versus startup. I feel like my most on the spectrum quality is the fact that I cannot work in those environments. Like, I can't do it. Like, I've tried. I think I can if I'm with a team and someone who values productivity. But if someone values exclusively politics, I cannot do politics that counter productivity. It's so frustrating to me. I'm like, we got to get this done.
I got into
there's so much
a lot
stuff
of trouble.
To do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would always be in trouble for that. Because my problem is that also, I think this comes with age. I will tell you exactly what I think. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, this is bullshit.
But the great irony is like, you are the best employee then. Like, and then,
yeah.
And then they won't value it.
And they're
it.
Like, why are you so crazy? Yeah. Can you stop talking? And I'm like, but yeah, I think it's really interesting. Like you said, the age and work dynamic. And also now the older I get, I want to talk about my experience, but I don't want to talk about my age because I do think, especially in social, when you reach a certain age, you're deemed like,
I know, like irrelevant.
Irrelevant. You're like, are you even on social media? And it's like, excuse me.
I know.
So yeah, I do think that's the big difference. I think before I was a very okay and open to share my age, and now, and obviously it's illegal for people to ask you that in a job interview, but now I'm very careful and like I would never drop my age with a potential employer just because I just don't know how they're going to react to it, unfortunately. And that's like the sad truth of getting older.
I know. You have such a good point too about like you have to be more versatile because you've been through so much. You know how to pivot.
Yeah. And some people are not. Some people, I think when people are like, I don't want to hire someone older, I think what they're thinking about is like, this person hasn't evolved, right? This person hasn't learned or hasn't kept up with the trends. But I think we, like you said, millennials kind of have to. We're just like, we've gone through so many like economic collapses and recessions.
Like, we know how to pivot really quickly.
Well, yeah. And you're just like, well, if I have to get a job
at
Starbucks.
Danny, I'm going
to
add that to my resume. Graduated 2008. That's my.
I graduated 2007. Ugh. So I was like 1 year. I was like looking for a job in a recession or whatever the fuck.
Hell.
Ugh.
Okay, Danny, because you rapid fired with me last time, I stole your idea. And I'm going to rapid fire Q with you.
It's my BuzzFeed days, my BuzzFeed quiz. That's quiz.
Quiz.
Like in French.
You're right. Okay, so we're going to do, this is going to kind of like our existential aging question. So get ready, tap like in to your emotions. Okay. Would you rather have one more shot at your 20s or stay looking 30 forever?
What do you mean? I think stay looking 30 forever.
Okay. Yeah.
My 20s, I mean, they were fun, but it was a disaster. I don't want to revisit that time in my life.
Yeah. Okay. Good metabolism or emotional stability?
Oh, fuck. That's a really hard one. I guess emotional stability.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess. Yeah, I don't have an anxiety attack every day.
Yeah. This one's probably easy for you. Botox every 6 months or therapy every week?
I mean, for free.
That's what I'm going to say.
Oh, for free?
Yeah.
I mean, I will say therapy is quite affordable here.
Okay. Fair.
But I don't necessarily need to do Botox, so I'll go with therapy.
What about filler every...
Filler is expensive, so I might do filler instead.
I feel like that for some reason negates the question before.
Totally.
Okay, this one I think was asked at a state of me going through both at the same time, but would you rather be bloat-free forever or hangover-proof forever?
Oh, hangover-proof forever.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd rather be bloat-free.
Really?
I'm so bloated all the time, though.
I don't like the feeling of being bloated, but I think the feeling of being hungover is, like, just end it now.
Fair. Okay, no wrinkles ever. Or no email inbox ever again.
Oh, that's really rough. No wrinkles ever or no email inbox.
Imagine that email inbox just like poof, and like that little poof little emoji.
That would be amazing. And never I think see that it would again. Give me like peace of mind, which will in turn make me have no wrinkles.
No wrinkles. Yeah. Probably cures cancer as well, I'd imagine.
I think so.
Okay. This one's kind of deep. Would you rather lose your looks or lose your edge?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I think I'd rather lose my looks because even if I'm ugly, I'm so edgy.
Yeah, which can like have like a it can be a personality and like it can be like a lure on its own.
I don't need to be cute. Okay, I'd rather be edgy.
God, bam! But if you ever hung out with people who are like models.
That's why I don't
need anything. Yeah, they really don't need anything. Yeah, that's fair. Okay, this one actually really made me think. Always feel like the oldest in the room or always feel like the least experienced?
I think oldest in the room.
Really?
Yeah. This is like my life now.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I guess for me, it would depend on what industry.
Yeah, I think it depends on the context. But I think the least experienced, I don't know, with my personality, it wouldn't work.
Ooh,
I really don't.
And
think
I'm more
so.
Golden retriever, so it might work.
Yeah, I like to be a know-it-all, so I don't think I could be the less experienced.
You're also very blunt.
Yeah,
like I think like you with a boss at 22, I can't imagine.
Yeah. So I think oldest in the room. They'd be like, look at the wise old woman in the corner. Like, come here, my child.
Oh, I'm jealous. Old age suits you more than it suits me.
I think I'm a Capricorn, which is like basically an old soul for life, but I think I was born to be like an old lady.
Really?
Like not an old lady, but like a wise old person.
Okay.
That people come to me, it's like, can you give me advice? Elder. Yeah, yeah. Like
should you get like the long tree from braids and stuff?
What's the tree?
Pocahontas.
Yeah, that's I identify Listen with her. With it's a woman, right?
Grandmother Willow.
Yeah,
get
grandma.
It together.
Yeah, that's who I like see myself. Like when I reach that form, I'd be like, this is who I'm meant
really?
To be.
Yeah. Okay, I need to figure my life out. Okay, I think we both probably feel the same about this, but maybe I'm wrong. Actually, maybe I'm wrong. Would you rather be effortlessly cool but emotionally closed off or open-hearted and kind of cringe?
I think I'm already the first. I'm not emotionally closed off.
Yeah, so I was like, that's why I was like, actually, I'm like, I thought we'd have the same answer. I'm like, actually, we probably won't.
I would rather be open-hearted and kind of cringe.
It's true. You are the first one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be like, I'm so cool. But I do think.
And I literally couldn't be more the second one.
But I appreciate cringe. And I wish I would lean into the cringe more. I just can't. I don't know why. But I would rather be
open-hearted. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you can't be more cringe.
No. That's because I'm emotionally closed, which is not good. I'm emotionally constipated.
God, meanwhile, I can't shut up ever about my emotions.
It's someone told that to my friend Morel. She did like a witch, not a witchcraft.
They told her
but like
constipated?
A tarot. They told her, wow, you're emotionally constipated.
Really?
And I was like, I've never identified with something more in my life.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I know.
I'm surprised that you can get along with like two people, but I guess like you just don't deep dive on emotions then.
No, I deep dive on emotions. I'm not like, I don't lead with emotions.
Yeah.
But like if we're close enough, you'll know.
They'll come out.
Yeah. Okay. It's not that I'm like hiding anything. It's just like not the way I comes off.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then, yeah, but I appreciate open-hearted and cringe people, and I wish I would be more cringe.
Interesting. Well, yeah. I'll die on the hill that cringe is the only way to success. So.
I agree. I'm fully behind the cringe.
Okay, so this one, would you rather have your confidence come from delusion or self-work?
Well, I would say self-work. Yeah. But I would love
to be that delusional. I know.
I would love to
it's
be
like
delusional.
It's like in one case, I like it's like what the way like I die, I look back on my life. I'm like, wow, I really built that confidence. Like in terms of making $100,000 more a year, I would love to have some more delusion to be like every guy I've ever dated who thinks he's the best thing to grace this planet.
Any fucking male CEO.
Insane.
I want to be delusional like
insane.
That.
Insane. Okay, so last one. Would you rather have, drum roll, unlimited energy or unlimited time?
I think energy.
Yeah.
I have so little energy. I know. Nowadays that I'm like, I same. Just want to be.
Can we, the next episode we do be called Why Am I So Tired?
But I feel like that started so early in my life. Why? I feel like I'm like why?
I was having, this is such a tangent, but I was having a conversation with my friends this morning specifically about why we're so tired. But it was my single friends and we're like moving through the world. I don't know if that's like, I'm sure now in a couple too is the same for you, but like moving through the world as a millennial where we've had to learn all this technology, we're infiltrated by the news cycle, we've been through so many highs and lows with the economy, we're so self-sufficient, we're so independent, we're, I don't know, it just, I feel like so deeply exhausted. My friend was like, I could sleep forever and never be caught up on sleep. I can never be, feel rejuvenated again. And then did you see Gia Tolentino's article?
What did she write about?
It's in the New Yorker yesterday. I think it's called like My Brain Has Officially Broken or something. That's what it's called. I have to look at the actual title, but that combined with how exhausted we are, it's just about like how we cannot handle the news cycle anymore. Yeah. Just everything is nonsense.
I think we just absorb too much information, so we're always tired. But then I think about like older generations and they had to like farm and go to war. So I'm like, I guess it was tired for them
they
too.
They probably were physically. I feel physically. Like my soul is
yeah, I
tired.
Feel like I'm mentally tired.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel like they were probably physically tired. Yeah. I weirdly feel like my soul is tired, but my body needs to like punch more stuff. You know? And that's called mental illness, everyone.
No. I feel like I don't have, and it doesn't matter how many coffees I have a day, like when I'm tired, I'm tired. Yeah. I don't get like a second wind. You know how some people are like, I got a second wind, let's go. That's called cocaine. Because I have not experienced a second wind ever.
Ever, yeah.
So, well, I think everything started going down. If we're going to talk about age, 25 was another like steep downhill.
That's when things like, got worse for you?
Energy wise,
that's when it was just starting for me. Energy wise, I didn't think I lived until I was 24, 25.
But no, you know what fucked me up? COVID.
I gotta take cocaine again.
Okay, cocaine fucked me up. No, COVID fucked me up because before
she mentions
COVID,
on this article, I do think there is some brain that broke our brain. Happened something that broke our brain. I think so too.
Yeah, because remember we talk about this all the time. You worked in PR. I was a writer. I was going to like 3 events a day and then going to the gym and having happy hour with my friends. Now I've like have 2 activities in one day. I'm like, whoa, I need to prepare for
this. The
lives
we lived in New York are unfathomable now.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they're unfathomable to the people who live in New York right now. Like the people who are young in New York are not doing what we did.
No.
I like, I'm 100% sure of it. There might be, I don't know, some people in finance or maybe some like high power fashion jobs where it's happening, but not with anyone I know. They're not doing the same thing we did.
I think it was definitely 25. After 25, I noticed like an aging downfall, but then I think COVID, because we were inside for so long and we kind of stopped our routines of like going to the office or commuting every day and taking the metro or doing whatever we're doing every day. And now that we're trying to go back to it, I mean, some people never did, but the people that did, I remember being like, fuck, this is so tiring, taking the metro every day.
I don't know, something's happened. I agree. It's really proof that you can't slow down, which is not what anyone wants to hear.
Yep. Okay, time for our next segment. How do you not know this?
Huh? All right, what do you have today?
Sorry if I'm sniffling every 5 minutes, but the pollen situation
It's the pollen is horrible here.
It's like... I can't breathe.
No. It's like stuck in my throat constantly.
Do you know, apparently,
I don't know. I've been told this is true and this is a myth, but I think it's true. But like the whole masculine tree thing.
Yeah, male trees. Yeah. I think it's true because it's like.
Is it weird that I call them masculine trees?
The men trees. We need more homosexual trees in Paris.
Yeah, let's queer the trees.
The gay agenda. Yeah, apparently our friend Beatrice talked about it and she made it sound like. Like, I understood it when she explained it, but now I can't repeat it either. Something like pollination.
Something is like the pollen has to go somewhere and it's like into the tree vagina or something.
Is that bees?
No, it must be. Okay. Yeah, but animals do pollination.
Okay. Well, someone can pollinate the masculine trees and that's why we're sniffling all day.
You had a different explanation than me, which mine got graphic.
Anyway, the point is, it's hell. It's beautiful. Also, but it rained in Paris today, so I think it's going to calm
guys, down. Guys, the hail it was crazy. Today in Paris like was ice cubes. So insane. It was true little ice cubes.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
Me either. I thought someone was like banging same. On my windows.
It was crazy. Okay, anyway. So
anyway, moving on. What do I have? Okay, I'm going to talk about something near and dear to my heart, which is reality TV.
Oh, your favorite.
Specifically, the show The Valley. Have you heard anything about
this?
No,
but I'm going to Google it while I need visuals when you okay, do this to
look
me.
At it. Look at it and like...
You know the only reality show I know is Love on like, the Spectrum.
Look at it. Look at the poster and kind of... Give me your overall vibe, what you think about this group of people.
Ooh, there's one that's really creeping me out.
Which one? Let me see.
It's like blonde guy with a beard.
Oh, that's Luke.
Oh, I don't like him.
Okay, so...
I don't know, they look like human drones or something. They're all wearing pink and...
I'll give you a quick rundown. So, you know, The Valley in LA, which is like mm-hmm. a neighborhood, an area. I don't know. I've been to LA once. So, but whatever. The Valley is. So are you familiar with the show Vanderpump Rules?
Yes. So, I see that one guy.
Jax.
Is he the one who cheated?
Yes, he is.
So he gets a fucking show, even though he's a piece of garbage.
I'm about to tell you, he gets worse. There's actually some trigger warning. Sorry. Domestic abuse.
Shut up.
So I'll give you a quick rundown. Someone needs to off him, right?
Is this like...
I know, he sucks and whatever. Anyway, gross. We're going to get into it a little bit. But so The Valley is a spinoff from Vanderpump Rules that came out, I think, 2 years ago. And the whole idea was... So it was a show that we're going to introduce in 2020 because a lot of the people from Vanderpump Rules were buying houses in The Valley. Mm. And they were already like a little more successful. They weren't working at the restaurant. So they're like, how do we like transition the show to something else? And that was supposed to be The Valley. But because in 2020, a lot of them got canceled for being racist.
Yep.
They kind of put a pause on that show.
Okay.
However, after Scandoval, all these people became relevant again. So they're like, okay.
Are these people that I'm seeing, are they from Vanderpump? Or yes. Just Jax?
The other Jax people and Kristen. Well, not all of them. Just Jax, Kristen, and that's it. And then the rest are friends who are also kind of in the Vanderpump circle, but they weren't in the Vanderpump Rules show.
Okay.
So, and Brittany, who's married to Jax, who they're now getting divorced. But
Brittany, someone married him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
After he did that cheating thing on Ariana?
Yeah. They had a baby together, too.
Girl, I never want to blame women, but oh, my God.
Okay, I agree. I mean, I think Brittany knew what she was getting into, but I also think she's much younger than him. And I think she was half manipulated, half too in love with like the reality TV fame that she was like,
how old is he?
He's 45. Mm. And she's like maybe early 30s.
Research. Okay. She's 36.
Huh?
She's 36.
She's 36? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, he's 10 years older. Anyway, it's a crazy show because the way it was marketed was, look at these people adulting because they're all like married with kids now.
Mm-hmm.
These people are, if we're going to talk about aging and adulting.
And not maturing.
The worst example of what adult is. So the funny thing, well, not the funny thing, it's kind of sad. But the interesting thing is these people in the first season, most of them are couples or like married with kids. By the second season, there's been two divorces already.
Why seeing this am I not surprised?
And so Jax is the devil on earth and he sucks. And essentially the entire last season, him and Brittany are fighting because all she wants to do is go on date night. Because that's how she speaks, date night. And
what do you mean? What's her accent?
She's from Kentucky, but she just says date night in such a funny. She says date night. I don't know. She says it in a really funny way. Anyway. She wants to have a second kid with him for whatever reason. What? And she's like, her whole
This is reminding me of, what's the other show you showed me? Southern something? The
Southern Charm?
Who had two kids with that guy?
Oh, yeah. But to be fair, she was 21 and he was 56.
Oh, God.
So she was very, yeah. But so Brittany, the whole fight that they have is like, she wants to have a second kid. She wants to be more intimate with Jax. And Jax is kind of being an asshole. Anyway, this season, the second episode, I believe, they have a confrontation because they're already separated.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a confrontation where she accuses him of being addicted to coke and he goes to rehab.
Uh-oh.
But the entire time, instead of being like, also, they got into a fight because he found out she was cheating on him with one of his friends. Not cheating, they were separated. But she was hooking up with one of his friends. Okay. Which is, okay, Brittany, not the smartest thing, but like, you're separated. You can do whatever the fuck you want. And when he found out, he flipped a table. And when he flipped the table hit her knee and her knee got purple. And that's where people are like, that's domestic abuse. And mm-hmm. I think the only reason he went to rehab was because the producers were like, you need to go to rehab or you're fired, essentially. Whoa. And but now he's trying to be like, I'm going to rehab for my son. And I'm like, you're so full of shit. You're not going to rehab for your son. You don't give a fuck about your son.
God, he's so gross.
He fucking sucks. And so the entire time when they're driving him to rehab, instead of being like apologetic and being like, yes, I need help, like, I can't believe I flipped the table, he goes, well, yeah, I shouldn't have flipped the table, but what did she do? She slept with my friend.
Oh my God.
And he
goes,
name one other man who wouldn't react the same way.
Ugh.
So anyway, it's a shit show. The only reason it brings me comfort and joy, even though it's very dark, is it's really interesting to see these people who quote unquote have their life together and quote unquote are adulting.
Does it make you feel better about your own life?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm killing it. I haven't flipped a single table that has hit Paul. So something about it is
so
comforting.
So low. Subterranean.
It is a little dark. I will say specifically this last season was dark, but in a different way because it was still kind of funny. It wasn't like that dark.
Mm-hmm.
This season, specifically around the Jack situation, is dark because there's a lot of shit that you're like,
God,
it's probably even worse than what it looks
dude?
Like. But a lot of the side drama is really funny. So it's kind of like still really easy
entertaining
thing. Yeah,
and easy to watch. Okay.
That's why I used to love Vanderpump Rules too, because I'm like, these people are a mess. I love watching this. Like, I'm so much better than you, kind of thing. And then
I've never thought of reality TV that way. I'm like, maybe
when
I
they
should
started
think of it
getting
more that way.
Successful and rich, I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore.
Yeah,
but now we're back to the Valley, and they have more money for sure, but they're still a fucking mess. So something about it is comforting. I don't love the darkness. Anyway, I highly recommend. There's only two seasons that are on right now. I think you should watch.
I haven't watched one of the reality
shows. I think it's going
to
make you
to
hate
watch.
Men a little more. There's only See, one
Danny,
guy.
I can't do it.
There's
I'm
only one.
So,
okay, I will say
you're
there's
married.
One.
Let me there's breathe. One
there's one guy that's... There's maybe two guys that are decent. There's a third one that's
decent? Like what? How are we talking about decent?
Okay, one of them
are
is...
Are they flipping tables?
No. One of them is like... One of them is funny because... He to me feels his name is Jason. He's married to a girl named Janet. She is kind of a dark, like, you don't, you can't tell mm-hmm. if she's like evil or just, I don't know. I still can't tell if I like her or not, but he just kind of looks like he doesn't know where he is. Like, I don't know what I say now, but he's
love,
like so normal.
Love a lost man.
But he's like so normal that you're like, why are you in this show?
Really? Okay. Maybe I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I want to know which one
the
he is.
The one that you said that creeped you out,
He looks like he's in a religious cult in this photo.
He does have land
in
Montana.
Wait, Danny, can you put him in the header image for the
podcast? Of course, I'll put him. They actually were saying that he looks like Vincent Van Gogh.
Ooh, I wouldn't.
That was a comparison the internet was making.
Him. I'm getting cult leader, but.
But anyway, okay. I think you should watch it. It's really, the first season specifically, it's really funny because it's so stupid and fucked up. The second season gets a little darker, but it's still kind of funny because some of the side drama is so stupid.
Okay, I'll entertain. Maybe we should just have a night where you like force feed me
force
stuff.
You to
yeah. And I have to like watch it.
Okay, how what's yours?
I feel like I probably already talked about this, but I just am renewing my obsession. So Kate Berlant and Jacqueline Novak had a podcast called Poog, and
oh yeah, you told me about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it's really good, but then basically Will Ferrell's podcast network canceled it.
Ooh.
And so it was like a lot of drama. Well,
I love podcast drama.
I mean, it was crazy because they kind of let on, but it was just one day. They were like, guys, we're shutting down out of nowhere. And I had gone back. So the last year I'd gone back, I've listened to every single episode of it. I went back to episode one. So I was like a true devotee. Like I really felt like I was their friend. So I was pretty devastated. But then within a week, they'd relaunch their podcast and it's called Berlant and Novak. And it's basically, should we pause?
No. Go.
Okay. They relaunched the pod and they're so neurotic and they make me feel so much less alone. They will talk for hours about the stupidest shit, like about what seat on the airplane they got or how stressed are they out they are about like what hotel they're booking. I can't explain it. Like Kate Berlant constantly talks about how she has these massive bills she has to pay to her insurance that they're due for therapy and she calls them like monster bills or something. And I don't know what it is, but it's like listening to these two very objectively successful women discuss the things that they obsess about, that stress them out, that they're fearful of. I don't know. It gives me such a catharsis. Like they're neurotic about the exact same things I'm neurotic about. And I love it. It just makes me feel less alone.
Yeah. I love that. I love when you listen to a pod and you're like, Oh my God, are you talking about me?
Truly.
Yeah.
I know this probably sounds like podcast hell to literally anyone else, yeah. but the way that for me, it just makes me feel so much less alone. And they're both very funny. They're very quick. They're fairly weird. They clearly both have some form of ADHD. they're just, I don't know, the perfect mix. So if you guys are looking for something, I would say it's very much unlike any podcast I've ever heard before. Okay. So if you're looking for something messy, totally unproduced, kind of weird with two women who are... Yeah, kind of scrappy. There's no theme.
It's just like random.
So the initial podcast was about like they have an obsession with health and wellness.
Oh, okay.
So that was really with, and they don't talk, they don't talk about their jobs at all. They just kind of obsess about these health and wellness themes, and it was kind of about their neuroticism around that. And now I would say it's kind of a diverse. They talk about travel. They love eating out. They talk about their favorite restaurants. They're really picky about food. They just came actually to Paris. They did London recently. So they have some cool recs.
Oh, nice.
We'll talk about their experience of the cities. Yeah. They have some cool ones. Kate's really picky about food. And so high level.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that's it. All right. Time for our next segment.
Snack and spiral, spiral and snack.
Danny, what are you snacking on?
I'm snacking. Well, we're going to snack on it soon. Should we eat it first so you can give me your live reaction?
Sure. Okay, guys, pause.
We'll be back. Sorry.
We're trying to pause for chewing sounds, but we just had it.
It was so good. So my snack is the banana bread from the coffee shop Dreaming Man. Mm-hmm. There's two locations in Paris. Initially, friend of the pod / my friend Lindsay Tremuda recommended this coffee shop, and I love them. It's really good coffee, really good pastries. Sorry, I'm still eating the banana bread.
I'm trying not to make mouth noises by the mic. I'm like leaning full on backwards.
But yeah, so it's a really good coffee shop. So they have two locations. The first location, I believe, is in the, I want to say the third. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the third. Anyway, that one is tiny, and it's also like, I went today and the coolest people go there. Like, it's really very fashionable people, really cool people.
Intimidating.
That one is tiny, so sometimes if you go like peak hours, you might not find anywhere to sit. And then they open a second location, which is much bigger and has more seating, and I think it's also where they roast the coffee. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time, that's the one that I went to the first time. And I had the banana bread there and it changed my life. I was like, this is actually good banana
bread. What, Ronnie Small? Is it the first?
I think it's the first, yeah.
I think, yeah.
So I would say it's like really good banana bread because I think everybody tries to make banana bread in every coffee shop. And I would say 9 times out of 10, it's really shitty banana bread.
Usually it's really dry.
Or they put like unnecessary amounts of chocolate.
Really? Like chocolate chips?
No, like even like... like, and chocolate icing, where I'm like, we don't need this.
Don't need that, yeah.
So, what really struck me as, like, the reason I think it's, like, the best banana bread in Paris is because it's very simple, but it's very good. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have any, like, chocolate chips or anything crazy. It's just, like, very
pure good. Banana. I just tasted it. It's very, the flavor is really good.
Traditional banana bread.
And I grew up in a banana bread family. Because I'm a banana bread with icing girl. I want a little bit of icing.
I do love a butter.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There was a place in New York called Ruby's that would give you passion fruit butter.
Ooh.
For the banana bread, which is delicious. Ooh. And we were talking about this earlier. Yeah. Residence Con in the 10th.
I just had that this
espresso
week.
Espresso butter.
But talk about moist, man. That
it was
one.
Moist.
Moist. Like, that was drenched.
It was so good. And something about the coffee and the banana flavors goes
really
together
worked well.
So well. Yeah.
Yeah. That was so really good.
That's my second favorite. Mm-hmm. The reason this is my first is because it's just like traditional.
The banana force is strong in this one.
Yes, it's really good. And it's just like, yeah, it's just like a good, for me, I just hate when I get a banana bread with coffee and it's just like overly sweet or like you said, super dry or just the flavor isn't there. So I do think the banana bread situation in Paris is dire. There's mm-hmm. not a lot of good places where you can find this. So when you find good banana bread, you're like, okay,
yum.
Yeah. Gonna get it every time. So anyway.
Ugh, I just want to eat pastries for the rest of my life.
Me too.
I need to be coffee healthier. I'm really like losing it. I feel like I've just lost the plot of my health the last few months. Truly devolved since this breakup. It's unbelievable.
I'm trying to not give myself little treats every day.
Oh my God, it's the little really treats every day. And I've like, my psychology is truly like, well, I'm in Paris, I might as well. And I'm like, guys, I've been here 5.5 years. Like, yeah. I'm going to be the size of a house if I don't slow down. Yeah. It's out of control.
Same. I'm like, I can't have a little treat and a coffee every day.
Every day. And sometimes multiple times today. I ate so well yesterday, man. Oh my God.
What did you
eat? Oh, well, so actually brings me to my snack and
okay,
my
tell
snack.
Me.
Well, my snack part of my, before my spiral. I had, well, speaking of Residence Con, they have a scone there. So I want to preface, I'm a scone girl. I just love, oh my God, I'm like getting cute aggression, but towards a scone. I like love scones. I love their texture. And this combated some issues with scones that I feel like people say they're not moist enough. And I really like this. It's little, it's like this little square. We'll post a photo of it. Mm-hmm. But the flavor was so, I wish I understood more about what was in it, but it was like so nuanced and it felt like a little bit whole grainy or something.
Did it bring like butter? Or
yeah, something? They brought okay. this beautiful pat of butter, sprinkled some flowers, edible flowers, over the butter. Dude, Danny.
That place is good.
I was a little egregious yesterday. I got a full granola bowl and then I ordered that on the side because I like my eyes were bigger than my stomach. Feels like a
balanced meal to me.
I thought so too. My friend just got a piece of banana bread though and I was like, did I overkill? it was so, so good. So flaky, but a little bit moist too with the butter. Truly eyes roll back at head level.
It looked really good. Yeah. I want to try it.
Well, we're very tired today and we accidentally got too excited about our snacks and forgot to do our spirals. So
I keep eating the banana bread.
Danny and I are just literally eyeing it. Like it's like a race. It's like a race. Who's going to get it first.
I put butter on it. So now it's going to be,
she put butter and extra sea salt on it.
It's going to be extra moist.
Yeah. You just want to say that over and over again, don't you?
I used to hate that word. I still hate it actually.
You said like four times.
I know.
Okay. What's your spiral?
Okay. My spiral is very general and random. Okay,
we always have to preface our spiral. Every time we say anything, we're like, mine's really stupid and it's so dumb, so don't worry about it.
No, because like, I feel like back in the day, in the first couple of episodes, I was more structured about my spiral and now I'm just like, everything annoys me.
Back in the day, I was more structured about this entire podcast. Yeah.
But I want to talk about the food scene in Paris. And I think every city has this issue.
Yeah.
There were some awards that like, I'm not going to talk about what publication, but a publication that gave awards for like best restaurant, best vibe, best cocktails, best whatever. And I think everyone who won deserved it. It was good. But it's like, I feel like it's the same 10 restaurants.
Why does that happen, do you think?
I don't know. And also it kind of goes in hand in hand with like when people are like, I'm going to Paris. These are the places I recommend. And it's always the same 10 restaurants. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are they even good? I don't even know. So
you should do a newsletter. You know the girl who's going to all 100. She just finished top New York Times restaurants in New York. You should do that with like top 10 restaurants in Paris, and then do like an official.
I want to do it because I get that, and I'm sure you do too. We get the questions like, where should I go when I go to Paris? And then
mine's always like, is Bistro Paul Bear good? That's like the number one question I get.
Yeah, and what do you think? So well, that was the one I was thinking about right now.
I've only been there once, and it was for a special chef residency. I never actually had, I think, the true.
I've been there once for dinner, and the food was really good, but it's brasserie food, and it's like three times the price that you would pay at a brasserie. So I actually want to go back because they do have a lunch special, and it's like quite affordable. So I want to try the lunch special. It's where all the Americans go. So like you're going to go, and everyone's going to be American. So if that's your vibe, cool. But just know that you're going to pay three times the price for like an entrecote or whatever the hell you get, like, I don't know. Poulet roti, whatever you get. It's going to be very good for sure. But it's like you're paying for the name and the trend.
It's wild that it became so trendy. You know, our friend recommended Bistro de Tournau.
Yes, I actually want to go there.
I thought that. I'm a bistro girl, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
I love French classics. I thought that was incredible. And to its credit, my whole family came with me. My parents used to live here. And my sisters are both extreme food snobs. And everyone said it was one of the best meals they'd had.
I want to try it. Yeah. Because I don't, like, in my repertoire of, like, what I normally recommend, I have very few, like, French classic places.
And mine's, like, the total opposite. Mine are all French classic. Yeah.
My last, like, piece of the spiral is, like, so when you ask me for recommendations and I gave you 10 recommendations and none of them include Café Flore, is for a reason. Mm. And if you still choose to go to Café Flore,
has anyone ever said to you, like, can you actually recommend me? That doesn't make any sense. But has it ever said, like, can you actually recommend me more cliche things?
No, not cliche. No, not necessarily. Okay. But like when people are like, where can I get the best hot chocolate? And I'm like, just don't go to Angelina. Like go to Angelina.
I'm an Angelina apologist. For the line. And I would never go to that one anymore, but I'll literally go to the Angelina's Luxembourg good. One.
No, and I've said, just take it to go.
Yeah. 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 I wouldn't never wait in that line.
Correct. Ever. I'm like,
No. I mean, the thing that's the luxury is getting the whipped cream on the side.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fun activity. But in terms of the actual,
I mean, yeah. And fine. I don't want to, again, I don't want to like if that's what makes you happy, go to Corette. Right. Like, do your thing. But my thing but is,
people
like,
come to you for a reason. I feel like they're not coming to you for the stuff they can Google.
Well, and for me, it's just more like, it's like the same 10 places I get, like, recycled over and over again. And so someone comes to Paris and they're like, these are the best places to go to Paris. And they're like, Corette, Café Flore, Paubert.
Yeah, that's insane. If that's what someone's saying, that's insane. People are saying that?
Yes, all these like influencers that come to Paris and then they're like, these are our best.
But those are the influencers who wear like a red beret around town.
Oh, for sure. That's what I'm saying. Like, you need to pick and choose who you follow in terms of food. And I wouldn't even say me, because I get to everything late.
To me, you're like someone who'd come on the fourth try. Who would you say though? Give us some people.
I trust anything Lindsay Tramuto recommends.
Yeah, she's really good. She's really good at knowing the mix of trendy with actually good though.
Yeah, and she's honest.
And she has good classic one too.
She has good classics. She's honest, and I just trust her if she says, like, because we also have a lot of side conversations about like, oh my god, this place is bullshit. So I trust her implicitly. I also like Le Fooding, even though Le Fooding is kind of like part of this world that kind of talks about the same 10 restaurants, but I like Le Fooding, and that's pretty much it. I used to like the Michelin Guide, and now I think it's bullshit.
Really?
I just think it's like the same Michelin. I mean, obviously Michelin starred restaurants, and it's like the same shit over and over again, but maybe I'm too poor to really understand it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I used to use their, like, they have like a poor person rating.
It's like the one that doesn't have stars, but it's like,
I used to use that to help me vet when I was traveling.
Yeah, like in some places. City. In some places it's good because you don't have like a fooding, like the fooding option or like an infatuation. I like the infatuation too in New York. But yeah, I think for me it's just more like, all these like bullshit awards and people, like, it's like, I get it. But like you said, it's PR at the end of the day. Like, what's actually good?
It's PR and it's hype and it's influencers and it's word of mouth and it's a feedback loop. But I try to trust that it only lasts so long. Like, you watch these things fade out if people keep coming back and the meal's not great.
I guess what pisses me off the most is like going to a restaurant that's been so overhyped and then you go and it's like shitty and you're like...
No, and it's a special night out. And I think what we take for granted too is a lot of people, that's their one night out a week. I mean, we're out of control. But
exactly.
I mean, in terms of how we dine out, but some people can't do that all the time.
Yeah, I agree. So anyway, I just wish the food scene was more diverse in terms of like it wasn't the same 10 restaurants.
The takeaway is follow Dani's Substack. Well, where she recommends the non-top.
I should do like actually
anti-top 10.
Anti-top 10.
Yeah.
10.
I also think there's a big market for like the fifth time visitor recommendations.
Exactly.
Because a lot of people are like, I'm like, is this, I have a really good list for first timers, classic French.
Yeah, I have the same.
It's stuffed, but it's not going to work for the fourth or fifth time.
Or even like tourist places that are actually worth it. I think.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
But anyway. I mean, I still will die on the hill that Entrecote is a fun experience.
I love Entrecote. It's delicious. It's an incredible deal.
Yeah.
Sauce is good.
Yeah. And I think if you know how to hack the line and you know when to get there, you actually don't have to have an annoying experience.
But you know, there's like a new chain called like L'Atelier or something like that. And it's the same shit.
Really?
And you can get chicken too.
Do they actually have the sauce?
They have the sauce. I don't know. I haven't been, so I can't
say. My family has been trying to recreate the sauce every year since we were about 10 years old and have failed every year. It's really hard.
Anyway.
I'm actually going to switch my spiral for today.
Okay. Well,
I was going to do a stupid one, but I'm actually going
to
do.
I actually was looking forward to your stupid one, but what's your new spiral?
Okay. Well, I'll do two.
Okay.
So I was going to start with the letter 3, which pisses me off and I'm annoyed
at
it.
Is that the letter?
Yeah. I'm also dyslexic. The number 3. I just so sick. I'm so sick of it. Like,
what's your beef with the number 3?
People are obsessed with it. And I'm sick of people saying you can't make a list if there's not more than 2 things. Yes, I can. Sometimes there's only 2 things. I don't want to have to add a third thing. And I don't like the way my brain always has to like find 3 of everything. I'm so sick of bad things happening and me telling myself, well, I just have to get to the third and bad things are going to stop happening. That's so insane. It's so insane. I'm so sick of it. And I just feel like it infiltrates all of our brains. It has so much power. What about 4? Whatever happened to 4?
I do like 4. 4 is my favorite number.
We but I don't have beef with top 4.
I don't have beef with 3. But I agree.
My friend sent me the other day. She sent me a heart and it was a heart with a 3, but she did a typo and it was a heart with a 4. And I was like, own it. Own the 4 heart.
I love.
Fuck 3.
I love this.
Yeah.
When I saw it on the doc, I was like, the number 3. I was like, what the fuck is Gabby talking about?
Do you know people who have, what's the thing where you can see numbers and letters?
Oh, I don't know the name, but I know what you're talking about.
What color do you think 3 is?
What color? Like yellow.
Okay. I think green.
Okay.
Should we Google what color is green? Yeah, what color is 3? What is the official? What color is 3? 4 is a lovely purple. 3 is blue. This is just a random person on Reddit, so... Okay. Oh, red, orange.
Red, orange. Okay. Interesting.
Don't know why.
Okay. Well, what was your second spiral? Because you had a second one.
I think I totally got that wrong. It's not actually red, orange, but we'll figure it out. My second spiral is, mine's kind of inspired by you, but just for a different category. I'm so sick of people thinking shopping is good in Paris. And I know we kind of talked about this in our fashion app, but I'm just like, I'm really over it. And so recently Paris has started to open a few Scandinavian, like they just opened Arte, do you know ARTE?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I have some really good jeans from there. The line was down the block.
It's where insane. Is it?
North Marais between. Ugh, it's like kind of.
Why is everything no, sorry. On Marais?
Yeah, it's North Marais.
I hate going to the Marais.
I know. So I tried to go last weekend because I saw someone with a bag and I was floored because I didn't know there was a store here. And yeah, a line of like 50 people outside trying to get in. So annoying.
That's the thing. Shopping here is like, first of all, I don't think that the stores are great.
No, and if they're good, they're Scandinavian.
And they're always fucking packed. Yeah. Unless you go in the middle of the day.
Unless you go in the middle of a weekday.
Yeah.
Which I need to start to do because I'm freelance.
Yeah, I could do it too, actually.
Okay, Antwerp. Where is Antwerp? Belgium?
In Belgium. It's great. I love Antwerp.
Not Scandinavian. That's what Arte is.
Oh, really?
I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, too. Yeah. And I've seen a couple other. There's like an Obey store. There's a couple other streetwear. I like boxy streetwear clothes. Yeah. Not going to find in Paris. I'm so sick of Sandro. I'm so sick of Maj. I'm so sorry if you wanted to sponsor us. JK, that's obviously not going to happen. I just don't get it. It's like all A-line dresses. It's not my style. Yeah, I don't think it's cool. The sizes literally do not fit me that are available in the store. The one store I kind of liked was Bimba y Lola. And now
that's Spanish.
It's Spanish, exactly. And the buy has been shit recently. And they stopped stocking their shoes in the store, which is basically the only reason I went. I went shopping last weekend, you know, purposefully with a mission to buy things.
Right.
I went to 10 different stores. Couldn't find anything I like. Yeah.
I don't even bother going shopping. Yeah. I just do everything online. I wait. And just go to
meal
London.
Never reaches me effectively, and I don't want to have to keep going to pick up points. Okay. I'm so tired of it.
Yeah, no, I do everything, and I do my like closet thing. So I just run to have my closet anyway, and then when I really want to drop money, I just go to London because they have a
way
better
in London.
Scene.
I know. I want to. We should go back to Copenhagen.
Oh, Copenhagen was great too.
I really like the shopping there.
Yeah, Copenhagen is great. We got a lot of good stuff. Yeah, too. Yeah. I love anything. But
I saw you wear your Ghani, or was that Ghani? No, it was No, it was the other Scandinavian brand. The purple one.
The dress?
The blue purple one. You wore that in Provence.
That was Steen Yoga.
Goya.
Yoga.
Steen Yoga.
I'm also dyslexic.
The clothes are just way better. So I'm just sick of it, and I'm sick of people.
And
like,
I got that off the street.
I don't
remember.
Oh, but that
literally.
Was so cool. Remember? Yeah. It was all those girls.
Yeah.
So it was just like
Copenhagen
market. But it was like all 25-year-old girls with cool style.
Like the coolest Danish girls.
Sorry,
were like
but a Paris
their closet.
Could never.
Yeah. And she was like, do you want a Ghani jacket for like 40 euros?
You got
I'm
that
like,
really cool,
yeah.
Like full leather jacket.
Yeah. It was great. I loved it.
That anyway. Was cool. I want to go back. And I'm just like sick of people coming here and saying, where should I shop? Is the shopping
I'm like,
good?
I always say Galerie Savoie because I don't really know anywhere else.
To me, Samaritan, the men's portion of Samaritan, has some of my favorite clothes just because I find like. Unique streetwear to be more interesting.
True.
There's like you have to be ready to drop $1 million.
Yeah, it's really expensive.
Yeah.
I did go in there once and got a Jack Moose hat. So random.
Really?
Yeah, and then I sold it on Vinted because I never wore it.
Like a baseball cap?
No, like a bucket hat.
Really?
Yeah. Paul has a really good, like, Paul has really good places that he's discovered.
I know, and I think I like Paul's style more than, like, obviously, like, a super hyper feminine style, so.
Yeah, there's a place in the Marais also that he likes, and he loves going to Le Pouce now. It's, like, his new place where he hangs out.
And he has clothes?
Yeah, he just bought 2 shirts today.
Wow.
Yeah, I think you just have to know where
you
to go.
No, yeah.
But
I was thinking of, like, doing my own list of, like, those clothes here that I find more unique and different than kind of like the day-to-day stuff that everyone buys.
Yeah.
But it's more just like, frankly, menswear and like, I don't know. Anyway, so it drives me nuts. So if anyone has good shopping recs, I'm looking for more cool. What would I be looking for? How would you even describe that? I don't even know.
I don't know. Do you like vintage?
So vintage often is too small for me.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. It's, yeah.
So the Paris shopping vintage doesn't work for me.
But there's also like...
I could do it online.
Yeah,
maybe.
You should try Vinted. I think you like Vinted.
Yeah. Okay, maybe. Maybe I'll do Vinted and report back.
Yeah.
Okay, can Vinted sponsor us? Also, you should have Le Closet to sponsor us.
I know. I really want to do something for... Or I really want them to do something for me. Because I've gotten like 3 people to sign up.
To go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, guys, thanks for coming. We were a little chaotic today in a tired but chaotic way.
We're old.
My
That's
friend
why.
Used to call this. I know exactly. We're old. She used to call the thing like this feeling. We should call it punchy when you're like really tired, punchy? But you're kind of stupid.
That's what because we didn't do cocaine.
She said, I'm
today.
Getting punchy. Yeah, we didn't do a Coke.
That's why.
God, fuck. I forgot my morning Coke. Okay, bye, guys.
See you next week. This was Clashes,
a podcast brought to you by 2 idiots.
Clearly. I don't know if I can laugh on cue.